You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
Armchair.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
trying to
any
save
idea?
The pump pump. Really, this
you
is what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Here, and if you don't know, now you know, the number one college football rivalry in all the land has got to be Army-Navy. Unless you're a midshipman, then it is Navy-Army. But I think most of us are in the habit of calling it Army-Navy, mainly because that's the way it's always been presented, and the reason why is alphabetical, but the famous battle cries of go Army, beat Navy, or go Navy, beat Army. You hear them throughout the land in what has typically become the second Saturday in December. Used to be the first Saturday, used to be right after college football, Thanksgiving weekend, rivalry weekend in college football. Now we get it 2 weeks after that because you have conference championship, and rightfully so. I love the fact that it's got its own day. I love the fact that ever since I can remember watching this game, pre-conference championship games, it had its own day. And it comes on in the middle of the afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern, and everybody puts aside all the stuff talking about in college football. Everything is put aside. There's no other game on. And we as fans sit down and enjoy a piece of Americana, a throwback to what college football used to be, which was truly built on, college football was built on student athletes, not athletic students. And that's what Army Navy is. And look, we all love our big time college football. We love watching the SEC, the Big Ten. We love watching, you know, the big schools in the other, you know, now Pac-12 is gone, but you still have some really good rivalries all throughout the ACC and the Big 12, even the groups of five. But let's be honest, it's, to me, it's refreshing to see kids out there, young men, who are willing to give their all for their country to meet up on the football field and not the battlefield once a year. And at the end of the game, they're all on the same team. They're all on the same side. So that's what we're going to talk about today, Army versus Navy. And we're also going to hit some honorable mentions, some rivalries that we didn't touch on. We're going to go over those in the end. But Army-Navy is and always will be, to me, the number one rivalry in college football. And it's not particularly close. And I can tell you this. So it has been, Army-Navy has been on national television every year since 1945. It has been on radio every year since 1930. And our Braves Country Radio, we bring it to you every year beginning in 2021. This was right after we had done the Braves Country Radio play-by-play through the back half of the 2021 Braves baseball season. And on a whim, I decided that day in 2021 in December, you know, I want to call Army-Navy. I've always enjoyed it. Let's sit down and let's see what happens. Let's see if we get anyone interested. And to my amazement, people gather around and they, some of the comments are just your basic, go Army beat Navy, go Navy beat Army. But you have other folks that jump in the comments. And this is the reason why we're doing it every year. This is the main reason. We get a lot of thanks from folks who enjoy catching the game. But also, there are folks out there that they don't have access to the game wherever they're stationed at. But they do have the ability to grab YouTube. And so that's why we do it. And I can tell you something else. Believe it or not, outside of the World Series broadcast that we've done, Army-Navy is the number one ranked ball game that we do every year. Now, that's not why we do it. We do it because the U.S. Armed Forces, women and men who are serving or have served, have been so grateful for us covering the game that I don't see a scenario where we don't cover the game. So unless there ever comes a time where I'm doing something where I'm not able to do the game, Army-Navy is going to be a part of Braves Country Radio every single year. Just absolutely. It has become my favorite game to do, and you know how big of a baseball fan I am, and fans of other sports and other teams that I've grown up with. And I don't really have, I've never had a dog in the hunt. I've told y'all before, I grew up in a military family. My grandfather on my mother's side, he served in the U.S. Army in World War II. My grandfather on my dad's side served in the U.S. Navy in World War II. And then my dad was in the Air Force. And so I get the perspective of all. And something we're adding this year, hopefully, it depends on what time the games are. And it comes down to, if we can do it, we're going to do it. But we want to add the other two ball games to the broadcast schedule, meaning Navy, Air Force, and Air Force Army. But we're waiting to find out what the times are, et cetera, because we have a lot of commitments going into 2024, bringing Braves baseball. But if it can be done, we're going to do it. We don't have to worry about that with Army Navy. Army Navy obviously takes place well over a month after the baseball season. But if it can be done, Army, Air Force, and Air Force Navy will be added to the list. Now, as far as this rivalry goes, why is it the number one rivalry in all the land? Well, first of all, there's something so American about this rivalry that I in good conscience could not put it below any other rivalry. And I know there's going to be some fans out there. They're going to say, yeah, it's a game and I'll watch it, but it's not above this game or that game or this rivalry or that rivalry. Yeah, that's your personal opinion, and I get that. And it's also who you probably grew up pulling for. But the difference between this game and all the other rivalries is that most folks, most college football fans, and even non-college football fans, they put some time aside to make sure that they can catch the game. They may not watch all four quarters, but they try to catch it because there's something really cool. The pre-game ceremonies, everything about it. We're going to get into all of that. This rivalry began November 29th, 1890, where Navy beats Army 24-0. The largest win in the series, Navy, 51-0 in 1973. They play for the Secretary's Trophy. It's a part of the Commanders and Chiefs Series trophies that are shared through the Army versus Navy, Navy versus Air Force, and Air Force versus Army. But for the Secretary's Trophy for Army Navy, Navy leads 62-55-7. Funny side note, when we do the Army Navy games, I see it all the time now, and I still get a kick out of them. There's always comments in there from ex-Marines or current Marines that will put in the chat something to the effect of, this is the one day of the year that I'll say it, go Navy. So it's always a fun part of the entire rivalry is entangled with U.S. military history. We're going to focus on the games, but you think about the men that have been on that field. It truly is an amazing. This is a game where the President of the United States most make it a priority at some point in their career in office. 10 sitting presidents, more on that in a second, but 10 sitting presidents have been at this game. You think about what that entails to get the President of the United States in and out of the building. I can't imagine he'd be surrounded by much better men and women to make sure that he is safe, but it's an amazing thing. The longest win streak in the series is the Naval Academy's 14 wins from 2002 to 2015. Talked about how it's been televised every single year since 1945. It's obviously right after World War II and really the coming of age of television. Televising sporting events was very, very new. It was in its infancy. You think about the fact that the most popular sport in America at the time was Major League Baseball. And it was rare to see a Major League Baseball game on television in the 1940s. couple that were televised in the late 1930s, but very, very rare until you get towards the end of the 1940s. This game has been played a lot of different venues, but it typically is played in Philadelphia, though the beginning of the rivalry in 1890 was played at West Point and then 1891 in Annapolis. And it went home and home for 4 years before moving in 1899. So there were four games, 1890, 91, 92, 93, and then a six-year hiatus where it would be moved to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1899. The venues that this game has been played at, 41 games were played at JFK Stadium, which has since been demolished. First one at JFK was in 1936, the last one in 1979. Franklin Field held 18 games. Veterans Stadium held 17 games. Lincoln Financial Field, which is the current Philadelphia site, has held 14 games. Even the Polo Grounds from 1913 to 1927 was the home for five games. Giant Stadium from 1989 to 2002, four games. And M&T Bank Stadium, four times hosted between 2000 and 2016. We won't go through every single stadium, but it should be noted Soldier Field hosted a game in 1926. The Rose Bowl hosted a game in 1983, FedEx Field in 2011, and most recently MetLife in 21 and Gillette Stadium, home of the Patriots in 23. Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium, the house that Ruth built, also hosted this game for 2 years in 1930 and 1931. Future sites of this game: 2024, it is to be held Landover, Maryland, FedEx Field. 2025, it'll be back in Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. And in 2026, MetLife will host it, and it will return to Philadelphia in 2027. I kind of liked when it was always known to be in Philadelphia, because it truly is a neutral site for the two academies, but it is cool for it to travel around and have other military bases to be able to attend. I think I would more be in favor of it being it in Philadelphia every other year and then going elsewhere every other year. I think that would be a cool thing to see. But nonetheless, that is where we will see these games played over the next 4 years. For folks who may kind of scoff when they tell you they don't watch or pay attention to the military academies because they are not up to par with Big Ten, SEC, Power Five conferences, etc. The easiest way to combat that is to tell them, hey, not only do the two academies have high academic standards, you got to remember something, too. To be in those academies, there is a height and weight limit. And I think a lot of folks kind of get lost on that. And it's why the two academies will always struggle in a game like football to put together national power ever again. Because as these kids have gotten bigger over the years, and we're mainly talking about the linemen, we all know football is one in the trenches. It's very difficult to be able to compete with the Power Fives. But who cares? It's not important. What's important is the best of the best, the cream of the crop in our nation, is on display on that field that day. And that's why, there's not just a sense of patriotism that kind of brushes over you on that day. But it should be an absolute sign of respect that you were looking at great human beings who have sacrificed and will continue to sacrifice, and not just very talented athletes. And I can tell you this, your average ball player that attends one of your Power Five schools, especially the big boys, I guarantee you they've got the utmost respect, because they understand, as should we, of what it takes to not only go to one of those academies and excel academically, but then also to compete on the gridiron. It really is remarkable. Since 1963, only these games have featured teams squaring off between Army and Navy where they both had a winning record. 1996, 2010, 2016, and 2017. That's it. Now realize 1963 was a big year, because in 1963, not only, and we're going to start with this game, the game that has been called the greatest game ever played. This was the 64th meeting between Army and Navy. And there was also a couple other things that really made this game historical. So one of the main things that anyone who was alive at that time will remember is that this game was originally scheduled for November 30th, 1963. But President John F. Kennedy was assassinated just before the game was scheduled to play. And it was Jacqueline Kennedy, who urged the two academies to play the game because she had heard about the talk of canceling the game. And if you remember, JFK was a Navy man. Regardless, she was basically saying that he would have wanted the game played. And so they did play the game. And the game was played on December 7th, 1963. This really began the tradition of this, of it being played in December. And you got to realize something else. The 1962 game was a hell of a game itself. The 1962 game, Roger Staubach referred to it as one of the greatest games he's ever played in. And he was really talking about his own personal accomplishments, winning that game 34-14, though the game was much closer than the score indicates. But you got to remember something. In the early 1960s, Navy and Army, because they're not being handicapped because of size and weight restrictions, along with academic expectations, they're two of the top programs in the country. The game in 1963 ends up being played on December 7th, which of course is Pearl Harbor Day. It's the 22nd anniversary. So that's still fresh on the minds of Americans. And then, of course, obviously, the assassination of the president is fresh on the minds of Americans. And in front of a crowd of 102,000 in Philadelphia's Municipal Stadium, which was later named JFK, Roger Staubach leads number two ranked Navy to victory, which clinched a Cotton Bowl national championship matchup with Texas. Army nearly won the game. Army's junior quarterback, Raleigh Stickway, led the game off with a touchdown drive that featured the first use of instant replay. How about that? So we flash forward to the end of the game. Army was trailing 21-7. They get a touchdown, a two-point conversion. It's 21-15. They get an onside kick. They take the ball all the way down to the Navy 2-yard line. And on fourth down and no timeouts, crowd noise, and this was a thing back then, and I know a lot of kids today would be like, what are you talking about? You didn't have microphones and speakers in your helmet? Oh, I can remember games in the 80s and early 90s where you used to, now at this point this wasn't going on, but in the 80s and early 90s, they started flagging the home team, if their crowd was too loud for unsportsmanlike conduct. Now, that was not taking place in 1963. So the crowd, and they're right, Army is going into the heart of the Navy student section and they cannot hear because of the crowd noise. The stickway is prevented as the clock's winding down on fourth down and no timeouts. The crowd noise prevented Stickway from calling a play and time expires on the 2 yard line on fourth down. And the final score is 21-15. There's a great television documentary about this game. I've watched it several times. It really is phenomenal. And it's why Army and Navy refer to it as the greatest game ever played. Because it wasn't just the fact that it really was a great game. And it was the birth of instant replay on television. But then also, all the circumstances, the JFK, it's being played on Pearl Harbor, just everything. Roger Staubach goes on to win the Heisman Trophy. And he was supposed to be on Life magazine's cover, but because of the JFK tragedy, he gets bumped off of the Life magazine. And back then, being on the cover of Life magazine, that was a huge thing. Stickway and Staubach would meet again in 1964 as seniors, and Army would beat Staubach's Navy team. And in that game, Calvin Huey of Navy becomes the first black player to play in the series. Roger Staubach, probably the most famous and accomplished as far as the NFL goes of all Army-Navy veterans of this game. Of course, not only does he win the Heisman Trophy, but he goes on to play for the Dallas Cowboys, win two Super Bowls. He's Super Bowl V MVP, and he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. By the way, to that note, Alejandro Villanueva, many of y'all may be familiar with him. He played for Army, an offensive tackle, graduated in 2010, playing for the Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens in his career. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch by pitch, play by play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Hey, boys, away, my boys. Hey, boys, away. Farewell to college, boys. We sail at break of day. Through our last night ashore, drink to the fall. Until we meet once
Welcome
more.
Back. Army Navy, the greatest rivalry, I believe, in American sports, but definitely college football. I know folks, a lot of folks will like to try to argue that some of your Yankees, Red Sox kind of thing is above. I can't put anything above Army Navy. I just can't. It's the, I guess it's growing up in the military family in me. I don't know, but I just, it's hard for me to put it, because it seems like everything else just doesn't matter when you consider how impactful Army Navy is on everybody's lives. Not just the folks playing in it, not just the folks attending it who are going to either academy or serving in any branch of the military, but also the average American, even the ones that have not served, the level of respect that we have for that game and for anyone who has served, you can't compare it. I'm not going to compare Army Navy versus anything that the Red Sox and Yankees were doing in the early 2000s. It's always going to pale in comparison. So outside that 1963 game, it's really hard to even put any of the other games up against it. But in recent memory, you want to talk about a couple of games in this series that really captivated everybody. December 10th, 2016, Army beats Navy for the first time since 2001. It was just a long drought. They win that game 21-17, snapping the 14-game losing streak against Navy. And in 2022, I had the pleasure of doing that game. Army beats Navy 20-17 in double overtime in the first overtime game in the series. And I'll tell you what, that 2023 game, that was a hell of a game too. Army won that game 17-11. But there was high drama all the way to the end. And an absolute nail biter. And I know a lot of folks probably don't believe that a 17-11 game can be. It was a great football game. You had everything that you wanted in a football game. Navy trailed that game 17-3. A little over 4 minutes left, and they got the ball back. And Army's defense was trying to hold on to the game. I mean, we're talking about a 14-point lead. And on 4th and 7, Navy ends up completing a pass for the first down at midfield. Navy quarterback Ty Lavatai was being brought in. Remember, Xavier Arline had started the game, and Lavatai, I mean, he really was the guy that was making all the plays. He went 15 of 26 for 179 yards. They failed the comeback, but they get down there with about 3 minutes left, and Lavatai hits Umbarger on a slant for a touchdown, and now all of a sudden, it's 17-9. Jaden Umbarger, by the way, had 6 catches and 75 yards that game. So they score that touchdown, 17-9. They fail to get the 2-point conversion, but they do get the ball back. And that was after a quick 3-and-out by Army. So Navy gets the ball back with a minute 20 left in the game. They're on their own 27. They got to go 72 yards. This is not a passing offense. And all of a sudden, away we go. And they start knifing down the field. Lavatai starts hitting receivers, moving the chains. And they get down at 4th and goal with less than under 10 seconds left. And they try to go in for the touchdown on the keeper. And after review, they gave Army the win as they turned over on downs. Army ends up grabbing a safety to ensure their win. So they end up winning 17-11. But I'm telling you, if you go back and you watch that video, it really does look like that Navy may have gotten in. That doesn't mean that Navy's going to tie the game because they still would have had to have gotten a two-point conversion. But I'm doing the game and I'm watching it. And it was one of those things that because it was called on the field as a turnover on downs, what they came back and said essentially was there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. Fair enough. It was a great game. An outstanding. It's one of the best games. Football, baseball, it's one of the best games I've ever called. And I'm even counting the one back in 2022, which did go to the double overtime, and that was a thriller too. And I didn't think that could be topped. And I'm just saying that the way that game ended, unbelievable. And it's hard to explain it, but until you get really locked into this rivalry and you get to watching it. And I'm not saying you got to be pulling for someone. Just enjoy the damn thing. Soak it in. And I'm talking about from start to finish. I'm talking about going in off the jump and realizing that this is a day. You make a day out of it. So there's pageantry that begins and they start televising that at around 1 o'clock, 2 hours before the game starts, showing all of the men and women in uniform coming in to the stadium. It's just, it's worth it, especially if you've never watched the game. Do yourself a favor as a sports fan. You got to watch Army-Navy. You can skip a lot of things, but there's a handful of games that I never plan on skipping intentionally. That if I can be around it, I'm going to be around it. Obviously, the Super Bowl comes to everybody's mind, right? Of course. But Army-Navy's right there with it. I can't always say that some of these other rivalries that I've... Look, if you're a fan of Georgia Tech and you know it's going to be a hammer-and-nail situation between Georgia Tech and Georgia, you may decide, I don't know if I want to sit through this again, man. I just don't know if I can do it. So I can understand if a fan told me, I can't watch my team lose. And I just use that example because it's, you know, you're talking about a team in the Atlanta area and, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs, whatever. But, you know, my point being is I could see a situation where one of my favorite teams is playing in a rivalry and I go, oh, man, I don't know if I can do it. But I'm not missing Army-Navy if I can help it. I hate that I'd say I really didn't get back into it till about a decade ago. I grew up watching it. And then into the mid-1990s and to the mid to late 2000s, you know, the first decade of the 21st century, I would catch the game, but I didn't make an appointment television. Now since around 2012-ish, 2013-ish, I've made it appointment television. And I will not miss the game. Not if I can help it. But that game was just every one of these games that I do them, even if it's not a close game, I'm telling you, you get something out of it. We talked about the sitting presidents, and I do want to hit that up again. There's been 10 sitting presidents who have attended this game. We're going to name them off because I think they should be recognized. Because I think it's a shame that some of these presidents have not attended the game. And it really makes you wonder. Anyways. Teddy Roosevelt was the first one in 1901. He also attended again in 1905. How about Harry Truman? From 1945 to 1952, he only missed one game. That was in 1951. But he went to all the others. That's something. George W. Bush and Donald J. Trump have both attended the game 3 times. And Trump, who was not the sitting president yet, also attended in 2016 when he was the president-elect. So he has been there 4 times as the president, though the first time in 2016 he had not been sworn into office yet. JFK, 1961 and 1962, the only two that he could go to. Obviously, he did not make it to 1963. Woodrow Wilson, 1913, Calvin Coolidge, 1924, Gerald Ford, 1974, and Bill Clinton made it to it in 96, and Obama in 2011. Now, it should be noted, this is pretty interesting. Army and Navy will both be in the American Athletic Conference going forward, beginning in 2024. But there is a caveat to this game. I think this is remarkable. Now, they're not expected to be fighting for the conference championship. We've talked about the challenges that both academies have because of strict academic standards, along with the size, height, and weight of the players that are allowed on their roster. But the game itself will not be considered a conference championship game because it's being played after the season, essentially. So it will still be considered a conference championship game. There is a scenario where Army and Navy could be playing for the conference championship the week before and then would also play the following week, if you can believe it. They would play the following week in the traditional Army-Navy game. Now, how wild would that be? You talk about really strange. What if, and it's a possibility, it's not likely, but it's a possibility. What if these two teams were undefeated going in to the conference championship game and the winner expected to get a playoff berth now that we've gone to 12 teams? What if that happens and the team that wins then goes into the Army-Navy game with their ticket punched to the playoffs and playing what is essentially a meaningless game? It really would be a wild scenario. And essentially the next week they would be in a playoff game. Do you start your starters? That doesn't really seem like something that Army or Navy would ever back down from. But how wild would that be if you know you're heading to the playoffs, but you got to play this random rivalry game? And you also, by the way, got to get ready for the following week because you're in the playoffs and whoever you're playing, they're getting ready for you. Now, I know that's a very wild scenario and probably not likely. It's probably more likely to happen when they eventually expand from 12 to, I believe it's going to go to 16, and I believe it's actually going to go to more. I think you're probably going to get, it's going to get wild. I don't know if I'll live to see it, but I think you're going to get very close to what you see in basketball. And I don't think they should, but I think it's going to happen. I definitely see the 16. They're not going to leave money on the table. But you could see a scenario where they go to 24 or 32. Anyways, that's a little off the beaten path. But Army-Navy, one of the truly great traditions in this rivalry. And some of the cool traditions of the rivalry game itself. I think my favorite one is the formal prisoner exchange. The students that are studying at the rival school. So in other words, there are folks from the Naval Academy that are studying at West Point for the semester and vice versa. They have a formal exchange of the students. It's a prisoner exchange. They do it on the field, usually at midfield prior to the game. And so what happens is the Army students from West Point are given back to their squad, and the same with the midshipmen. They're given back to Annapolis, and they will watch the game with their fellow Black Knights and midshipmen. And then after the game, assuming that they're still studying on the rival campus, they will return to that rival campus. But I think that's one of the coolest ones in all of college football, especially because they refer to it as the formal prisoner exchange. The other one that I think a lot of kids that you'll hear, and you'll also see it on social media the day of the game, but it's called Sing Second, and it's the battle cry. Along with Go Army, Beat Navy, and Go Navy, Beat Army, you will see the battle cry of Sing Second, Sing Second. And what that means is post-game, the winning team stands with the losing team and faces the losing team's academy and their students while they play their alma mater. And then the losing team stands with the winners and faces the winning team academy, and they sing second. They sing the alma mater second, So the team that wins sings second, so that's where that battle cry comes from. And so that, in a nutshell, is why it is Army-Navy, the number one rivalry in all of college football. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the ones, for lack of a better term, we're going to call them honorable mentions. Some of the rivalries we did not hit in this series that I think do need to have their own light shed on them. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and the phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
First to fight for the right and to build the nation's might, and the army goes rolling along. Proud of all we have done, fight until the battle's won, and the army goes rolling along. And it's high, high day, the army's on its way.
Let's put a cap on the whole thing. We have gone and ranked the top rivalries in America, and obviously, after just going over it, Army-Navy is number one. And I get it. There's probably going to be some arguments out there, and I'm here for it, but there's going to be some arguments out there that are going to try to tell you the Iron Bowl or Michigan-Ohio State is a better, bigger rivalry. I don't see it. When you talk about college football and you talk about America and American college football and the history of it, I got to go Army-Navy. Before we end this Once Upon a Pastime series on the college football rivalries, I did want to go over some of the ones that we really, yeah, well, I skated over it here and there, but I think they deserve their own light shined on it. We'll just kind of touch on them, but you may not be familiar with these honorable mentions. One of them that has to jump out at you has got to be Harvard-Yale. Harvard-Yale is known as the game, or the game, however you want to say it. But the game started in 1875, 139 meetings. What about Princeton-Yale? 145 meetings. They began their rivalry in 1873. The Sunflower Showdown, Kansas-Kansas State, 121 games. They began that in 1902. Oregon-Oregon State. Now they try to call it for the Platypus Trophy, but we all know Oregon-Oregon State is known as the Uncivil War. Battle for the Bell, Cincinnati and Miami of Ohio, they've been playing since 1888, 127 matchups. But it's not just the oldest rivalries that jump out at you, although Kentucky-Tennessee, not something you really think about being a big-time college football rivalry, but they have been going at it since 1893 and have squared off 119 times. We do think of the Bedlam series, although really it comes down to, especially with the two of them going in different directions now, it'll be interesting to see how they keep that rivalry together. But that's been a hammer and nail for quite some time. Now, there's been times where Oklahoma State has pulled off the upsets and Oklahoma State has not always been just some terrible football program. They've had their moments. They've had their years. I love the Georgia Tech nickname. They've been playing for 117 years. And remember, at one point, the hammer and nail was Georgia Tech. The rambling wreck of Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer. They were college football royalty when this began in 1893. Now, the tables have turned. But you gotta love a name. Clean, old-fashioned hate. Land of Lincoln Trophy in the Illinois Northwestern Series that began in 1892. The fact that Duke and North Carolina have been playing since 1888, played for the Victory Bell. It's a pretty cool tradition, though. If I were thinking Victory Bell, I would assume that that would have a couple of teams squaring off from the Philadelphia area, right? You don't hear people talk about it. But Virginia Tech, the Commonwealth Cup, those two schools hate each other. They've been playing since 1895. That Colorado State rivalry has always been pretty well contested. They've had some gaps in the rivalry, but they have been playing since 1893. The Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's a cool nickname for a rivalry, I have to admit. Some of the better nicknames of rivalries. They haven't met many times, but I love the nickname. Marshall, West Virginia have played 12 times since 1911. But the Friends of Coal Bowl. I think that's a great name. Georgia Southern, Georgia State. So they've only been playing for 10 years. Obviously, Georgia State has not been around very long. Began back in 2014. But the name, Modern Day Hate, that is a great name. Royal Rivalry, one of the newer ones. James Madison and Old Dominion. And you have about a half dozen rivalries that involve more than two teams. We've talked about the Commanders in Chief Trophy with Army, Navy, Air Force. The Florida Cup, Florida State, Miami. And the problem with that is Florida and Miami don't play every year. Florida State plays the other two, but they don't play every year. They will play this year, so that's kind of a screwy rivalry. But when they all play, college football is better. I love the nickname of Penn State, Pittsburgh, and West Virginia, called Old Ironsides. The problem is they very rarely play in the same year. And Tobacco Road, is there a better name for a trophy? This involves four teams, and you can imagine who they are. Duke, North Carolina, NC State, and Wake Forest. With four teams, very rarely does one team win it. But it's a cool rivalry between four schools that are very close together, and it's a great name. If you're looking for some of the bigger rivalries that we haven't really gone over, Division I, Georgia-Tennessee, Georgia-Clemson, they got to be there. The Michigan-Michigan State, Virginia-Virginia Tech, Colorado-Nebraska, though they don't play much anymore. But that was a great rivalry at one point. We're going to end this with rivalries we would like to see. Some resume, some get started. I think number one with the bullet, it's Notre Dame versus Michigan. One of your older rivalries, but they very rarely play. If you get Notre Dame into the Big Ten, we could see it every year. What about some Florida-Bama? I'd like to see that every year. Gators versus the Crimson Tide. Gator fans probably be more on board for it now that Nick Saban's gone. But when they do play, it always felt like a fun, big atmosphere. Whether it was the SEC title game or regular season, I really would like to see that rivalry. More so, I'd like to see Florida-Miami. If I can only pick one, that's the one. And if I can only pick one for Alabama and I can't have Florida-Alabama, give me some Alabama-Penn State. They've only met a few times, but I've always thought that would be a great cross-regional rivalry. Penn State doesn't really have that national rivalry or that big rivalry that anyone really points to. They've always been a very good football program. But because they no longer are independent, they don't play Pittsburgh very often or West Virginia. Yeah, you get Penn State, Ohio State, and Penn State, Michigan, but it's not the same because those two schools are focused on each other. I mean, Penn State, West Virginia, or Penn State, Pittsburgh, those need to happen. Those absolutely need to happen. I'd like to see the Tennessee Volunteers take on Virginia Tech. They played in Bristol, Tennessee, at the racetrack several years ago, and that was a cool atmosphere. Now, obviously, it would be much more fun if Virginia Tech is good and Tennessee is good, but whatever. I think that would be a great rivalry. Georgia-Clemson. Those were some good games back in the day. It is a shame that Georgia-Clemson is no longer on the national stage. 1897, they started playing that rivalry. They've played 65 times. Maybe if Clemson ever goes over into the SEC, maybe we get that on a regular basis. Florida State, Notre Dame. Look, I know they haven't played much. But that would be a fun rivalry. Now, we're getting it in 2024. And you'll get it from time to time. It's going to start going away because Florida State's definitely leaving the ACC. If FSU were to end up in the Big Ten and Notre Dame ended up in the Big Ten, I would love to see that. That is a great national rivalry. And I'll leave you with the one that if I could wave my magic wand, I'd want this game played. And I'd want it played on Thanksgiving weekend, and I'd probably want it on that Friday because they've played it a few times on that Friday. The fact that Nebraska and Oklahoma don't square off is second to none as far as travesties. The only one I could put in the same conversation is what the hell is Florida-Miami doing? I know we get it every once in a while. They need to play every year. But Nebraska-Oklahoma, man, that was college football. Those of us grew up in the 80s, Jamel Holloway, Tommy Frazier, Barry Switzer, Tom Osborne. Give me some more of that. Big Red versus Boomer Sooner. Florida, Miami. Come on, let's get it. Let's get it going. We only get so many years on this earth. Let's quit wasting it watching Miami play Bethune-Cookman and the Gators hosting Utah. My God, you could drive a bus to the freaking rivalry. Taking a look at these college rivalries and doing the research on them. Yeah, I was familiar with a lot of them, but I'll be honest, you know, how could anyone know all this about all these different rivalries? I had to do some research on it, and it went from I have to I get to. I started to look forward to looking up these rivalries, and man, what am I going to find in this one? And what am I going to find in that one? I think the biggest thing that I'm getting out of this, going to do more of these types of Once Upon a Pastime series for all the great sports. And I really appreciate y'all spending your time with us and learning about these great games, these great sports, these great rivalries. And really what it comes down to with all of these rivalries, what they all have in common is the people. The people that are involved in these rivalries help tell the story of this great thing that we have called American sports. And I hope you get as much out of it as I do on a daily basis of just embracing and consuming sports in America. It's one of the few things that's left that is still pure. It's the competition. Turn on a ball game and turn off the news every once in a while. One last thing. When I was a bartender in Tallahassee, Florida, I used to make a drink called the Seminole Scream. And it was named after the logo. If you look at the Florida State logo, it always looks like the Seminole on the logo is screaming. Not important what's in the drink, but it was a shot. And there were some girls that would come in to see me that I was friends with. They would come and see me at the bar. And we always had a good time. Friday nights before the games in Tallahassee, they would come in. They would order Seminole Scream. And in unison, they began answering the question that everybody had when they came in. Because it was a good shot. And it looked garnet and gold. So that was one of the reasons why it was so popular. People would come up to me and say, how do you make a Seminole Scream? And all I'd have to do is point at the girls at the end of the bar, and they would yell out in unison, let a damn gator walk in the room. Go Noles! And go college football, whoever you pull for.
Goodbye, sweetheart, well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show. Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Hey, hey!
listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.